Blog Talk Radio.
And bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet Aldi Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our Bible study entitled Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. We pray for you, right along beside you, and whatever it is that God has put on your heart to pray for, that's why we are here, to pray for one another. Amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God, by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God, and I just want to thank God for the birth of my two great-grandchildren, two baby girls just born at 6:08 p.m. today. And God bless them and their mother. And they are healthy, and that's the main thing. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, again, at this time, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. You can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. And we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. So right now, we're going to give God the highest glory. Amen. So I hope you enjoyed this selection, and I will continue playing our inspirational music and our prayer requests at this time. Praise be to God.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Moving up
and unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Praise somebody. He's worthy of our praise. begin to worship His name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before Him, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to Your name, God.
You're listening to changing lifestyles. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm teaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. For the child, if you spare the rod, teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, are better than kisses from an enemy, enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right to finally win. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear Him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counseling and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking in the Proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-2255. 213-5681 and call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God, everybody. It is now time for our daily bread, our daily bread, and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Which is entitled Learning from Foolishness. And the scripture is coming from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. And it says, as dead flies cause even a bottle of perfume to stink, so a little foolishness spoils great wisdom and honor. A wise person chooses the right road. A fool takes the wrong one. You can identify fools just by the way they walk down the street. If your boss is angry at you, don't quit. A quiet spirit can overcome even great mistakes. There is another evil I have seen under the sun. Kings and rulers make a grave mistake. When they give great authority to foolish people and low positions to people of proven worth. I have even seen servants riding horseback, prince walking like servants. When you dig a well, you might fall in. When you demolish an old wall, you could be bitten by a snake. When you work in a quarry, stones might fall and crush you. When you chop wood, there is danger with each stroke of your axe. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. If a snake bites before you charm it, the use of being a snake charmer. Wise words bring approval, but fools are destroyed by their own words. Fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions, so their conclusion will be wicked madness. They chatter on and on. No one really knows what is going to happen. No one can predict the future. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. The text for this message is coming from Ecclesiastes 10, verse 2 and 3, and it says, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as fools walk along the road, they lack sense. Amen. The writer says, a man walked into a convenience store and Warringah, Australia. $20 bill on the counter and asked for change. When the clerk opened the cash drawer, the man pulled a gun and asked for all the cash in the register, which the clerk promptly provided. The man took the cash from a clerk and fled, leaving the $20 bill on the counter. The total amount of cash he got from the drawer was $15. We all act foolishly at times. Even if, unlike this thief, We are trying to do the right thing. The key is how we learn from our foolish behavior. Without correction, our poor choices can become habits, which will negatively shape our character. We will become fools who lack sense. Ecclesiastes 10 and 3. Sometimes it's hard to admit our foolishness because of the extra work it requires. Perhaps we need to reflect on a particular character flaw, and that's painful. Or maybe we need to admit that a decision was made hastily, and next time we should take more care. Whatever the reason, it never pays to ignore our foolish ways. Fully, God can use our foolishness to discipline and shape us. Discipline isn't pleasant at the time, but its training yields good fruit in the long run. Hebrews 12 and 11. So let's accept our Father's discipline for our foolish behavior and ask him to make us more like the sons and daughters he intended us to be. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. What's a recent foolish choice you have made? And what do you think God wants you to learn from it? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for using our foolishness to train us. May we accept your discipline graciously as you continue to work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and this is our sweet hour of prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins we'll be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson, because our motto comes from James 5 and 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to play another selection while we're waiting for our speaker for this evening, because we know that nothing is impossible for God.
Through you, I can do anything. We'll be right back.
I believe nothing is impossible for God. It says in Jeremiah 29:13 in the CSB, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to feel your presence in every situation and every circumstances. You are with us, Lord, in times of celebration and in times of sorrow. Thus, when we are strong and when we are weak, you never leave our side, even when it seems to us that you are far away. Today and every day, God, let us feel you. Let us feel you and acknowledge your presence so that others, too, might know you through us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that's all you have to do is call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Right now, won't you open up your heart and let Jesus come in? Amen. Praise God.
You might be sitting there thinking to yourself, where is my God now? So many hypocrites professing lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you. Because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life when you don't know what to do. It seems like everything make it through. He's always there. your God with all your heart and with all your soul and mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And second, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you don't have to look far to find your neighbor, because right here in church, someone is hurting. All you have to do is throw your arms around them and open up your heart and let Jesus come in.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. Joy, unspeakable joy. Woo, so full of joy this afternoon. Praise be to God. So while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I'd like to acknowledge my coworker. Well, my coworker, praise be to God. To my co-host, Barbara Amore, God bless you. How are you? Well, you are my coworker too.
Amen. God bless you. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I am just so excited and so happy that I became a great-grandmother again of two twin girls. Mm-hmm.
Okay, she had the babies when?
Today, about an hour ago.
Get out of here. Okay, good. Yes, and how's mommy and the baby?
Oh,
how are they doing?
The mother, they're fine, but baby A is in the neat in the what you call that?
Incubator.
Yeah, because she had a little fluid in her lungs, but she's okay. The doctor said. But
good,
they just, you know,
good.
Observing her. So she probably
right.
They
were a little
there.
Early, right?
Yeah, they're like two and a half weeks early because they were supposed to come on the 15th of May.
Mm-hmm. I know you had mentioned that.
Yeah. So
congratulations. Yeah. Give her my congratulations.
I will. Thank you so much. So we're waiting on First Lady. I hope she didn't forget us
mm-hmm.
again. But in the meantime, there she goes. Praise God. God bless you, First Lady. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you. How are you? How's everybody?
I'm happy.
Blessed
and happy. I'm a great-grandmother again.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
She had the babies about an hour ago.
Great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
April 27th. All right.
Yeah.
So it's twin girls or boys?
Twin girls.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did she name them?
Nice.
No, she's still calling them baby A and baby
A and B.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
how you doing, First Lady?
I'm good. I'm doing really good. Thank you.
All right.
Today I did a lot more than I realized how deconditioned I am. Today I actually went out, how deconditioned I am.
Mm-hmm.
I went out, I saw a patient this morning. But the way that I went, so first I went all the way downtown to my office, which is down by Battery Park.
Oh.
And then from there, I walked to catch the bus, but I went and caught the 15 bus, so maybe it was like about a 5 or 6 block walk.
Mm-hmm.
I was so tired by the time I got
And you know how long those blocks are downtown?
Yes, those blocks are long. And I was walking slow. First, I was walking, I said, with a little pep, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was walking fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, wait. I better slow down. Cause this is...
Oh, my goodness.
I was so tired. I said, you know what? This COVID just deconditioned your body so badly. But
that's
true.
I did. I made it around. I had made it around. But see, what happened is, like, she lives on 2nd Avenue and 56th Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I take the express bus. So in my mind, I was like, okay, I'll just walk to Madison Avenue. walk from 2nd to Madison. Hell, I got on that Crosstown bus fast.
That's about 3 long blocks, isn't it, or more?
More than 3 years.
One block is like 1.5 blocks. Just
get
one block.
Yeah. Right. That's going over from to the avenue, between the avenues,
yeah.
Really long block. But
Mm-hmm. But anyway, God is good. God is
all
good.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
I got a message from Jake that he won't be with
us. You need to do it
well,
more often.
Yeah.
At least some of it.
Exactly.
Not all of it. Right. But just keep, at least get some steps in. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Build up to it. That's a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's not going to be with us?
Jake, he texted me. He said he won't be able to join us tonight. Mm-hmm. But Mother, did we hear from Mother? Have you heard from Mother?
No, not since Saturday.
Yeah. Hope she is today. Anyway, I'll reach out to her. Yeah, she's coming today. But anyway, let's get started. Let me open up in prayer. Dear God, Lord God, we love you. Lord God, we magnify your name, Lord God. And Lord God, we just thank you for the movement that we do have, Lord God. We just thank you for being able to experience, Lord God, the things that we can experience. Lord God. So we don't take that for granted. And we love you, Lord God, for giving us that opportunity, Lord God. God, we welcome you into this teaching and learning session, Lord God, so that whatever is said and done, Lord God, is clear and concise and pleasing to you, Lord God. Lord God, we just ask you to take away anything from us, Lord God, that is not pleasing to you, Lord God. And Lord God, forgive us, Lord God, for anything that we've done, Lord God, that is not pleasing to you, Lord God, and bring it to our remembrance, Lord God, things that we know we ought to do, Lord God. So we just thank you and praise you for the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that reminds us we listen to what it is that you will have us to do and what it is that you will have us not to do, Lord God, when our conscience aches us, Lord God, when the Holy Spirit grieves, Lord God, for things that we may have done that was not pleasing to you, Lord God. But Lord God, we just ask you, Lord God, to be with us this day, Lord God, and we won't forget to give you all the honor, Lord God. We won't forget to give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 Right. So we on Joel, because we never, we missed up on Joel. Mm-hmm. And I think we did read all, because of three chapters of Joel. And that was one of our assignments, to read the three chapters of Joel. So so just to go through the introduction with Joel, Joel is broken up into two parts. The first part is called The Day of the Lord in Retrospect. And the second part is called The Day of the Lord in Prospect. So The Day of the Lord in Retrospect, Joel discussed the past days of the locust and the past days of the drought. And in prospect, he talks about the imminent day of the Lord and the ultimate day of the Lord. And that's the prophetic invasion. Mm-hmm. And the first part was the historic invasion, the past judgment on Judah. And all this happens in the southern kingdom of Judah. And this is about 835 BC when all of this happened. And so it says that the disaster strikes the southern kingdom of Judah without warning. And ominous black cloud descends upon the land, the dreaded locust. In a matter of hours, every living green thing has been stripped bare. Joel, God's spokesman during the reign of Joash, and that was between 5 and 796 BC, seizes this occasion to proclaim God's message. Although the locust plague has been a terrible judgment for sin, God's future judgments during the day of the Lord will make that place hell in comparison.
Wow.
In that day, God will destroy his enemies, but bring unparalleled blessings to those who faithfully obey him. So we know that this is happening. This dreaded locust happens way before what? This locust, happens before what?
Before the captivity of Israel or Judah.
Exactly. Yes. So the Hebrew name Joel. The Hebrew name for Joel is Joel, which means Yahweh is God. This name is appropriate to the theme of the book, which emphasizes God's sovereign work in history. The courses of nature and nations are in his hand. Equivalent of is IOL. IOL, Latin, and the Latin is Joel. Now, the author. Although there are several other Joels in the Bible, the prophet Joel is known only from this book. In the introductory verse, Joel identifies himself as the son of Pethuel, and that's in verse 1:1, where it says, the word of Yahweh that came from Joel, son of Pethuel, meaning persuaded of God. So his frequent references to Zion and the house of the Lord suggest that he probably lived not far from Jerusalem. So Hilda, can you get chapter 1 and read verse 9 and then read verse 13 and 14?
Okay.
And Sister Barbara, can you get chapter 2 and read verses 15 through 17, 23, and 32?
Okay.
And I will read chapter 3. There's some verses in 3 I will read. So these verses relate to the suggestion that Joel probably lived not far from Jerusalem. So
glad you could make it, Jay.
So you go first.
Okay.
Glad to be here. I was supposed to have a plan meeting at 7 with Brother Clyde, and he's somewhere else. I don't know where he is. So I figured the best thing to do is to join up and learn a little more about the Bible.
Amen.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
So if you can get, Brother Jacob, you can get Joel chapter 3, and you better write this down because I want you to read verses 1.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, I was... Okay, Joel, chapter 3,
verses 1,
1,
5 and 6,
5 and 6,
16 and 17,
that's 1, 5 or 1, 6?
1, 6 and 1, 7, 16 and 17.
Oh, my pencil just broke. I tell you, when it rains, it pours.
You got a pencil? I haven't seen a pencil in so long.
That's because I keep making mistakes. That's why pencils have erasers. Okay.
All right. So you got it?
Verses 1, then 5 and 6, then 16 and 17.
and 17, right. Okay, Hilda.
All right. Verse 9, 1, Joel 1, verse 9 says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Thank you. For there is no grain or wine to offer at the temple of the Lord. So the priests are in mourning. The ministers of the Lord are weeping. Now, 13 and 14 says, dress yourselves in burlap and weep. You priests, wail. You who serve before the altar, come, spend the night in burlap. You ministers of my God, for there is no grain or wine to offer at the temple of your God. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Bring the leaders and all the people of the land into the temple of the Lord your God and cry out to him there. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And then Sister Barbara, chapter 2, Joel, Joel 2, 15 through 17 and 23 through 32?
No, 23 and 32.
Okay, and 32. Okay. Joel 2, verses 15 through 17 reads, blow the ram's horn trumpet in Zion. This is the message. Declare a day of repentance, a holy fast day. Call a public meeting. Get everyone there. Consecrate the congregation. Make sure the elders come. But bring in the children too, even the nursing babies, even men and women on their honeymoon. Interrupt them and get them there. Between sanctuary entrance and altar, let the priests, God's servants, weep tears of repentance. Let them intercede. Have mercy, God, on your people. Don't abandon your heritage to contempt. Don't let the pagans take over and rule them and sneer. And so, where is this God of theirs? And 23 and 32... okay, this is kind of like 21 through 24. It says, the trees are bearing fruit again. Fear not, earth, be glad and celebrate. God has done great things. Fear not, wild animals. The fields and meadows are greening up. The trees are bearing fruit again. A bumper crop of fig trees and vines. Children of Zion, celebrate. Be glad in your God. He's given you a teacher to train you how to live right, teaching like the rain out of heaven, showers of words to refresh and nourish your soul, just as he used to do, and plenty of food for your body, silos full of grain, casks of wine and barrels of olive oil. And 32, okay, I'm just going to guess because it's 28 to 32. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red before the judgment day of God, the day tremendous and awesome. Whoever calls, help God, get help. On Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be a great rescue, just as God said, included in the survivors are those that God calls. And the word of the Lord is already blessed.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. And then Jake?
Joel chapter 3, verse 1. At the time of those events, says the Lord, when I restore the prosperity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather the armies of the world into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then verses 5 and 6, you have taken my silver and gold and all my precious treasures and have carried them off to your pagan temples. You have sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks so they could take them far from their homeland. And then...
Wow.
Yeah. 16. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a strong fortress for the people of Israel. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, live in Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem will be holy forever, and foreign armies will never conquer her again.
Mm-hmm. And 20 and 21 in chapter 3 says, but Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem for all generations. I will cleanse their blood guilt that I did not cleanse, for Yahweh is dwelling in Zion. And so all of these scriptures, you know, point to the fact that that Joel lived, you know, not far from Jerusalem, because these all scriptures all represent the temple, right? People coming to the temple, him being in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we also see from what we read, did you see a certain pattern in the scriptures that we just read?
A lot of it talks about the priests acting as intercessors for the people and asking
mm-hmm.
for mercy. God, have mercy on your people. Don't abandon your heritage to contempt. And don't let the
right.
pagans overrule.
Yes, exactly. And then we saw in 2:15-17 where God did. They said, you know, it says, blow the trumpets in Zion, you know, sanctify a fast, call an assembly, gather the people together. But then we saw in 23 where it's like, be glad, O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in Yahweh your God, because he has given you the autumn and the rain for your righteousness, mm-hmm. and he has poured down the rainwater in autumn. So what happened prior to this? Why were they without wine? And what happened that they needed to gather together and pray?
Because of the locusts that came and
mm-hmm.
invaded the country and ate everything that was in sight.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Restored everything.
That's right.
Absolutely. Hi, Mother.
Hello, how are y'all?
Good evening.
Yay.
Blessed
Mother
David, how are you?
How are
blessed,
you?
Blessed,
how are you?
Knowledge Mother.
Yay. Mm. Praise God. We're doing Joel, Mother.
Yes.
Yeah, we're on Joel, the minor prophet Joel.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And it also goes on to say because.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Because
you.
Of his. Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. You want to say something, Sister Barbara?
That's Mother. That's
okay. Her. Oh, Mother, you want to say something?
When I was reading it, I was wondering if it's if a thing of something to come. You know, when all the nations will go up to Mount Zion.
Right. So, you know, you know, the thing about the prophets, right? They prophesize about the past, present, and future. And sometimes the prophecy is all in one. You know, they'll deal with the past and they'll deal with the present, but it also looks towards the future, which
mm-hmm.
which, like you said, things that are to come. So it also goes on to say, because of his statements about the priesthood that we just read, like in 1:13 and 14 and 2:17, some think that Joel was a priest as well as a prophet. In any case, Joel, clear, concise, and uncompromising preacher of repentance. So, you know, because he was very close to the temple, you know, and it seems like he had a lot of privileges within the temple, which can indicate that he was a priest as well as a prophet. Okay, so the date and the setting. So since this book includes no explicit time reference, it cannot be dated with certainty. Some commentaries assign a late date, usually post-exilic, to Joel for this reason. It does not mention the northern kingdom and indicates it was written after the 722 BC demise of Israel. Two, the reference to priests but not kings fit the post-exilic period. And three, Joel does not refer to Assyria, Syria, or Babylon, perhaps because these countries have already been overthrown. And four, if chapter 3, verse 2, refers to the Babylonian captivity, this also supports the post-exilic date. And five, the mention of the Greeks in 3 and 6 argues for a late date. So what does all of that mean? What do you mean by post-exilic?
Post-exilic.
Yeah. So does any of that make sense to you? It says that the reasons why they think it's post-exilic is, one, it does not mention the northern kingdom and indicates it was written after the demise of Israel.
So it was written after the exile.
Right. Because there was no mention of the two kingdoms. They only spoke of Judah and Jerusalem. Two, the references to the priests are not kings. Right? Were they kings when after they came out of exile?
No.
Jewish kings?
Did they have kings? Did Israel, did the Jews have kings once they came out of exile?
Well, the Israelites were scattered, so the 10 tribes of Israel never came back together.
Well, the ones who came back. Right. We're talking about Judah right now. And Jerusalem, we're talking about Judah and Jerusalem, basically. When they came out of Persia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there was the three groups that came out of Persia, first with Zerubbabel, then with Ezra, then with Nehemiah, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those people that went back into Jerusalem, did they have kings?
I haven't seen anything about them having kings.
Anybody
else?
I'm pretty sure they did not.
Yeah. I mean, king of what?
Right,
there was nothing left to be king of.
Well, there was. I mean, they did go back. They built up. Remember, they built the temple back, and they built the wall back.
Right, but they didn't build society back yet.
They didn't have a king. I don't think they had a king.
What do you mean they didn't build society back? There were people living there. There was thousands of people who went back. So what do you mean by society?
Well, it was a mixture of you know, they were told, instructed to build with a sword in one hand, and, you know, it was not a safe situation. It wasn't a status of peace and prosperity. I mean, this was planting the seeds of something. But I don't think that there socially that there was any structure to really rule over.
Well, they had a governor. Nehemiah was actually the governor. They did have a governor.
Yeah, but I mean a king. I'm talking about a king.
No, right. But you're saying there wasn't anybody to rule over. They still needed to have someone in charge.
Yeah.
But Nehemiah, wasn't he the governor in Persia?
No, when Nehemiah was in Persia, remember he worked for the king. He was the wine taster.
Cupbearer.
He used to taste the wine. Cupbearer. He used to taste the wine for the king. And what happened with Nehemiah is that, you know, he was so distraught about the wall still not being built that he begged the king to allow him to go back and build the wall. There was hundreds, there was thousands of people who, who exiled and went back to Jerusalem. And even though they were there, the people that were there, they started doing, you know, what they normally do. They started mingling with the people of the land, the other nations there. They started intermarrying. People from the different nations, and that was one of the things that Ezra was really, really upset about when he went. He's like, "What are you still worshiping Baal? I mean, what happened to you people?" You know, everything was repeating itself, right? And so Nehemiah was upset. Right, and the people that were there, they were very, you're right about that, Jake. I mean, they were very mean to Nehemiah and the people when they decided that they were going to build the wall back. And as they built, they fought. But Nehemiah got the job done.
But
build the wall.
If I could just interject, the ones who were very sneaky with him were other kings. They were from Egypt and two other places. They weren't so they were trying to entice him to come down. They were teasing him and, you know, making snide remarks, and he refused to come down. They were on a mission. They had a work to do, and the people had a mind to work. So they stayed on the wall. Now, I believe that once the wall was built, that secured Jerusalem, and they were safe then because they had gates to, you know, stop people from coming in and out without being, seen.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they had a remnant that was there, but the remnant was so poor before. That's why they weren't taken to Babylon, because they were like, you know, they were like unwanted people. Nobody wanted them. They took the young, the strong, you know, the beautiful into captivity. And the other ones that were, you know, older or whatever, they left them. They didn't want them.
Yeah, but when you're right. But when the Bible talks about the remnant, talking about them. No, that's not the remnant. The remnant are those people who remained faithful to God. Remnants are the people who remained faithful to God. The remnants, there were remnants in Babylon. You know, like you could say Daniel was a remnant. Remnants are the people that remain faithful to God.
I thought the remnants were the ones that were left in Jerusalem. Those are the ones that weren't taken into captivity.
Okay, so I need you to research. That I want you to research.
Okay, that's who they were, though. The remnant was left in
that's
Jerusalem.
The ones that I need you to research.
I heard you the remnant first time.
Okay, all right. Because actually, and I'm going to find the scripture. Actually, I'm going to find the scripture. Because the people, the people or the men who were mean to Nehemiah were the Israelites that remained in Jerusalem. Those were the people that was mean to him, not the king. So, but I'm going to find the scripture for that because I have to, because I just read it. It was those remnants, as you call it, they're not remnants. It was the people who were left over in Jerusalem that was mean to Nehemiah. Because he was like, what the hell are you coming in here now for trying to take over? I mean, that was their whole attitude about him coming and rebuilding the wall. Because they were left there and they were just like, they just had become very mean and evil.
You just said
and
it.
Then they were
that
older.
Was the remnant
they were,
that was left there.
That's not the remnant.
That's what you just said. You're agreeing.
I made a mistake. I made a mistake by using that word. Okay?
I will research it.
I know remnant.
Sure
you think
wrong.
Of remnant, we think of leftover. But those people
that's
that
what a remnant
stayed
is.
In Israel is
that's
not what the Bible talks about when they say
that's
remnant.
What a remnant.
They're talking about those people who remain faithful to God are remnant. That's what the Bible means when it says remnant.
Well, the remnant,
but anyway,
right? Is the remnant that has to do with Jesus? Is that the same remnant?
Jesus wasn't there at the time. This was before Jesus was born.
Oh, okay.
Jesus was born, remember?
This is the time. In 4 or 5 B.C.
Or 6 or 5 B.C.
Oh,
he wasn't
Christ.
Born yet. We're talking about 800 and 400 B.C.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so these are the reasons why the date and the setting that they believe that Joel, prophesied after. And no, there were no kings because after the last king, before exile, and we talked about this before. Before, right, the last king was the king before they went into exile. Not the last king, because remember the Davidic covenant is that God, what's the Davidic covenant? Covenant.
That the final ruler over Israel and the world must come from the lineage of David.
That's right, that all the kings in Judah came from the, that they would always be, they will all come from the line of Judah. So after, and you know, every single one of them came from the line of, not the line of David. Every single one of them came from the line of David. The evil one, the good one, it was son, and then the father, and then the son, and then the fathers, and the sons and the fathers, and sons and fathers, and sons and fathers, and sons and fathers, right? I mean, that's basically how the kings of Judah were, right? There were sons, fathers, 20 of them, right? Sons, fathers. And then after they go into captivity, you know, once they come back out into exile, who becomes the next king?
Jesus?
Who said that?
Mother.
Say that, Mother. Please say that loud. Mother, please say that loud.
If we had this before.
No!
We left before.
I said.
The same thing.
Who is the next king?
After David.
After Solomon.
No, who's the next?
David,
not after
Solomon,
David. Who
Solomon.
Is the next king after they come exile.
Jesus is the final king. Jesus was the king.
Exactly. And they don't have a king. You know, when they go, when they came out of exile, and you were right, Jake. I mean, basically, you were right. There was no king until Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They were not governed by a king until Jesus.
So who,
I mean, they
who
were
was
governed.
In charge?
They were governed. Well, it depends. Like, the Romans took over. So then remember, you know, the Romans took over, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they were looking for and hoping that Jesus would do what? What was their expectation of Jesus?
To rescue from the Romans and become king.
Destroy the Romans.
Yeah, they were looking for this physical king.
Mm-hmm.
To come and destroy the Romans, right?
Didn't they try and take him by
force? They didn't
understand. When he grew up, when Jesus grew up, didn't the masses want to take him and by force and make him king, and he had to run away?
No, no.
No.
Yeah.
Who? Tell me that story. Tell me how that story went.
All right. So it's in Gospel according to Matthew, I think there's, after he preaches to the masses and performs, which miracle? Was it the, I think it was the barley loaves and the fishes, and they were like, oh, we got to get make them him king. We're going to make you king, Jesus, right now. And he had to run away into the mountains.
Please find that scripture for me, please. I'm not going to say anything to you. You find the scripture for me, exactly that scripture. Because
right.
I don't remember reading it. About them wanting to make him king.
Yeah.
I don't. So, okay, so you come back and find the scripture for us.
Okay.
That'll be great.
I'm looking for it. Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right, so as we go on.
Let me just read about the remnant. I just have a quick thing. I'll do more research, but this is what Google says. The word remnant means something left over, a remainder, as when one has a piece of fabric remaining after the rest has been used or sold. A remnant is a surviving trace or vestige and also refers to a small surviving group of people. In the Bible, remnant refers to the relatively small group of Jews who have believed and will believe in the future in Jesus as their Messiah and are born again, as John 3:3+ says. One dictionary says a remnant is what is left of a community after it undergoes a catastrophe. And that's what I'm saying they are. Those were the ones who weren't taken
but
to Babylon.
But we need to...
Wait a minute,
okay.
Hold it, which is an excellent description of the remnant of Israel, a nation which has been persecuted for the past 2,000 years, most recently in the horrible Holocaust. And then it goes on to talk about the Holocaust. But it was a people who were left in Jerusalem because they weren't wanted, they weren't captured, and they were the faithful ones. They weren't taken with the wicked ones there too. But those are the ones who weren't taken into captivity. That's the remnant of Israel.
I want you to look up a Bible explanation, not a dictionary explanation of remnant. And part of that explanation that you gave talked about, you know, remnant being a group of people who are faithful to God. And that's what remnant means in the Bible. Remnants are those who remain faithful to God in the midst of everyone else going, you know, not believing in God. The remnants that God, spoke about are those who remained faithful in spite of what was going on around them.
Okay,
it wasn't meant for a location. Where they were.
What does the Bible mean when it refers to a remnant? A remnant is a leftover amount from a larger portion or piece, whether it's food, materials from which a garment is fashioned, or even a group of people.
Although remnants could be looked upon as worthless scrap, and many times are, God assigned high value to those of his people whom he had set aside for holy purposes. Those he labels as remnants in several places in the Bible. To begin, Isaiah 10, the story is told of the Lord's judgment upon the Assyrians. In verse 12, God says, I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes. He continues in verses 17 through 18, the light of Israel will become a fire, their holy one, a flame. In a single day it will burn and consume his thorns and his briars. The splendor of his forests and fertile fields I will completely destroy, as when a sick man wastes away. So, again, they're talking about the ones who were left when the Assyrians attacked. Okay? It says, in that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivors of the house of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return. A remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. Isaiah 10, 20, and 21. He goes on to assure the remaining Israelites that they need not fear the Assyrians, for soon he will destroy them.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm sorry I got mixed up. It's not Matthew, it's John. But I did get the story right about the fish and the five barley loaves. In John 6, verse 14, when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we've been expecting. When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That's perfect. I hear you, Sister Barbara, and I'm reading what you're reading, but it's too ambivalent for me, because when you look at Romans 9:27 and 28, and Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sands of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth fully and without delay. So, I mean, the remnant, you know, as I always, you know, read and thought it would be, is remnant. We're remnant. The remnants are those who we met, who are the believers. You know, I mean, we as believers are remnant, because we're the ones who will be saved.
Okay, but let me just interject too. You're right, that's true. But as far as the remnant at the time of the captivity, those were the ones, as I said, that were left and were not taken because they were old or disabled or whatever, and they weren't wanted by Nebuchadnezzar, all right, and his army. They only took the young, the Daniel and, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They took those people, all right, the youth, the ones who were smart and beautiful and all of that, and they left a remnant in Israel. And to my understanding, because we had a discussion about that in Sunday school, Nehemiah came back, we were saying, well, he got the permission of the king to come back because his countenance was so sad because he had been crying and They had brought mm-hmm. in word from Jerusalem that his people were suffering because they had burned down the gates, the wall. And so when the king saw his face, he said, well, what's wrong? And he explained what happened. So he said, fine, you can go. I'm going to give you a letter. You're going to get the material
right,
to go.
Right.
And so I said, so why yeah. couldn't the people that were there build it? And they said, because the people didn't have any meat. They didn't have the material. As it was said, Nehemiah got the material from those kings as he passed through the different lands. I think they were like 1,000 miles from Jerusalem. And
well, he got the supplies and the money and the gold. I mean, he got stuff from the king of Persia. It was
the king, but
as he
traveled here. He was told that he could get things from other people on his way to build those walls.
Because he gave him a letter.
Yes,
yeah, because he gave him a letter. But that wasn't the people who attacked him. The people that attacked him, well, I got to read Nehemiah, and I'll let you know. But I believe the people who attacked him was the people that you called the remnant, were the people who attacked him.
No, that's not, no. I just told you who those people were. Hold on, I'll get my my lesson and I'll give you the name. But it was three different people, and they were not friends of his. They were trying to see him fall. All right. Called the people to work. Nehemiah calls a meeting of the city leaders and discloses why he had come to Jerusalem. Nehemiah appeals to the leaders' pride in Jerusalem as God's holy city. Next, he appeals to their love for God and their desire not to bring him shame. He acknowledges God and his divine guidance in the plan to rebuild the wall. Then he tells King Xerxes, he tells the King Xerxes support. Nehemiah used the pronoun we rather than you or I. Wise leaders understand they must identify themselves with the need to motivate others to assist them. This reminds us of a Christian can't live an independent life because we are called to function in the community. I'm looking for the names of those who tried to stop him.
So let me read this first. Let me read this first chapter about the remnant. Let me just read this first chapter about the remnant, okay? It says,
mm-hmm.
It's chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now, it happened in the month of Chevlev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came. Now, concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem, they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach.
Now, I stop you right
and
there.
Mm-hmm.
Can I stop you right there? You just answered
yeah.
it again.
I know what you're going to say.
The remnant in Jerusalem. That's what you
but
just said.
But these are the
that's
ones who... I know, but no.
Okay.
It's
I mean,
not the same thing.
But that's what it was. But let me read you this part.
It's the remnant that went over.
Let me read Nehemiah 2. I'm going to start at 18 through about 20-something. Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me, it's Nehemiah talking, about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, yes, let's build a wall. So they began the good work. Here it is. But when, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom, the Arab, heard of our plan, they scoffed contemptuously. What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king, they asked. I replied, the God of heaven will help us to see. We, his servants, will start rebuilding the wall, but you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. These three men that I mentioned were once tried to stop him. That's not a remnant. Those are ones who came from different countries. Okay? Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian.
That's where they were from.
Okay, so they now let me read, because I went to the Bible. I went
read
to the Bible
again,
to look at
wrong.
To look at the commentary in the Bible.
You're in the commentary, but you're wrong about them.
Okay,
well,
let me just
accepted.
Read the commentary about
okay.
Nehemiah. It says, what is the
well,
book of Nehemiah
it.
About?
The
okay. book completes the history of the restoration of the returned remnant from exile in Babylon. As restoration begun under Ezra's leadership, it also marks the beginning of Daniel's 70 weeks and provides historical background for the book of Malachi. The book
okay.
completes the historical restoration of the returned remnants from exile in Babylon.
Okay.
A restoration
so
that begun with Ezra, the leader. So it's talking about
so there was
those
a remnant
people.
In both places. There was a remnant in Babylon because, as we talked about it before, when they were told that they could go back home, they didn't want to go. Remember?
But there was a whole group that did go. And when they did go
but
back to Israel, there
well,
was there was like 50,000 of them that went back. 50,000
of
them that
stayed.
Did go back.
I understand. But
a lot
of them
stayed in Persia.
They were living so well. Yes. Yes.
But there was
so
50,000 that did go back. And they were being, they were poor because the people, the ones who had money was charging them taxing them so badly. And that's when Nehemiah went, and he's like, what the hell are y'all doing to each other? Why are you doing this to each other? You know, taxing the poor. And remember, he fed them all, and he admonished them to stop taxing their own people. These are the people who came
no,
over
I
on
I never
exile.
Saw that part. I never saw that part.
No,
but there was the remnant in both places. But I was saying the remnant that did not go into captivity. Those were the poor ones. And they weren't able to rebuild a wall because they didn't have the means.
Okay, we're going to move on this subject. We're going to move on.
I see you have passion about it anyway. That's all right.
Two more minutes left.
It's
all good.
Yes. So so the dates and settings, so we already went through that. So we know that this is Joel preached to, or he prophesied to, you know, the post-exilic Jews. The commentators who believe Joel was written in the 9th century B.C. answers the above argument in this way. So there's two thoughts about, you know, whether it was post-exilic or whether it was not. And they say, you know, the other commentators who believe Joel was written in the 9th century B.C. answers the above argument in this way. They say, one, Joel's failure to mention the northern kingdom is an argument from silence. His prophecy was directed to Judah, not to Israel. That also makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. He wouldn't mention the northern kingdom if he was one of the prophets of Judah, because none of them mentioned Israel. Wherever God sent them to be prophets, that's who they prophesied to those people, right?
Yeah.
Number two, the other early prophets omit references to a king too, like Obadiah. You know, Obadiah, Jonah, Nahum, and Habakkuk. This also fits the political situation during 841 to 835 BC, when Adaliah observed the throne upon the death of her husband, Ahaziah, and Joab. the legitimate heir to the throne was a minor and protected by the high priest, Jehudah. And we read that when she tried to kill when Adaliah was removed from power in 835, and Joaz came to the throne but ruled under the regency of Jehoiada. So we'll continue with the date and time when we come back. Okay. Next Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
So. Amen. It's 7, right?
So we will
not
move.
8, 7.
Well, it's 8 o'clock right now, but we're going to end here, and then we will we'll conclude. We'll continue next week.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful lesson.
Yes. So rapidly.
I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
When you guys get...
Amen. I mean, it's I think it's like great when we, you know, because that's what it is. We learn from each other. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, we learn from each other, and it's a wonderful thing. For us to be able to do that, you know, because that's what Bible study is about, really. That's what it's about. So, Brother Jake, you want to close us in prayer?
Sure.
Yeah.
Father God, we thank you so much for this fellowship, sweet and learning experience, equally nourishing to our souls as food is to our bodies.
Yes.
So bless us and every family represented in tonight's class, and watch over us tonight as we slumber and sleep, and bring us a new day tomorrow. So we pray for all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Brother Jake, before you go, Brother Jake, we have a question for you.
Okay.
So we're having a Mother's Day service.
I'm not
on
a
May
mother.
9th.
You're not a mother?
Oh, that we know.
I'm a son of a mother.
That we know. But one of the things that we would like to do, sort of like at the end, is just have like a video flash of pictures of our mothers.
Oh.
So would you be able to put something like that together, like everybody sends you a picture of their mothers?
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. That would be
including
wonderful.
Your
including
your own.
I'd be honored.
Yes, including just everybody's mothers. I mean, the people that we can get.
Right.
Including yours and Brother Clark. Yeah, we can just email you our pictures of our mothers, and if you can, that would be the best way to give it to you.
Email is best. Email is definitely
email
best.
Better than text.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And I need just an idea of length of time that I like, the maximum number of minutes that you'll allow me to have. And then I'll just divide that by the number of images and give every image equal time. And you want music in the background?
Oh, yeah.
That would be nice.
So I could do that too. And,
And we just need everybody's mother attributed to the child. In other words, we need to know the name of the child of the mother that you're showing.
Right. Right. I could put that in as a title, like in front of the image. Well, not blocking the image, but, you know, somewhere tasteful. I'll put the, I'll say so-and-so.
The mother and the child's name.
Yeah, I could do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And,
this
is exciting. This is really exciting. Thank you.
That would be wonderful. Thank you, Jay. Brother Jay.
Okay, so that is when is my
May
deadline?
9th.
It's coming up soon. May 9th.
May
9th.
Wow. About 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yep, there it is. Mother's Day.
So how late can we get it to you?
Oh. Well, mm-hmm. if you hold me in high regard, I would say about a week. Give me a week. So
by you need
the
it next week.
Second.
By next week, okay. The
yeah,
second
by next
is
week.
Sunday.
Yeah, second is this coming Sunday. My, how time flies. Let me get my my date book here. Okay, 9th, let me count. 1, 2, 3.
So the following
yeah,
week is the 9th.
Wednesday the 5th.
Okay. No,
okay. Wednesday the 5th. That way, you know, if people are running behind, you know, I can squeeze them in to the production and hopefully have everybody accounted for by Saturday the 8th.
Oh, okay, by the 8th.
Okay. So what I'll do is I'll send out an email right now telling people if they want, you know, to please have a picture of their mother sent to you by the 5th.
Yes.
Okay.
And their mother's name. Don't just send a picture of mother. Put
the
mother's name.
Thank you.
Right.
Right. A picture of your mother.
I could have a whole section of anonymous mothers. Anonymous mothers.
Mother's faces.
Mother's
and mother. I have a really nice picture of you, mother. I can use that picture unless you want to send me. Unless you have another picture, but I have a really nice picture of you at my wedding. Do you mind
really?
If I use that? Mm-hmm.
No, I don't mind.
Okay.
Okay,
great. So I have Pastor's mom picture. I have a really nice picture of you, mom, from the wedding. You dress so pretty. You look so pretty. Mm.
She always dresses nice.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's true. All right, guys. That sounds great. I love you all. Have a blessed week.
Love you too.
Be blessed.
You too.
Mother.
You too.
Mother, I just wanted to let you know that Yara had the babies today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, two girls.
That's beautiful. What she had,
yeah.
A girl?
Two girls.
Two girls.
Twins.
Oh, she had twins.
Yeah.
Wow. Twins.
Oh, wow. What's she named them?
A and B.
Sounds good to me.
No, she don't.
Oh my God, I would have had so many names by now.
She has no name for them yet. You know these young people.
I would have had so many names by now. I would have had names. I would have so many. I would have no.
Yes.
Choose one.
But for right now, it's A and B. But I want you guys to keep baby A in prayer because she's in the
incubator.
NICU.
Neonatal ICU.
Right. She has a little fluid in her lungs, but the doctor says she's going to be fine. They just keeping her there for observation. So hopefully.
How much did they weigh?
They were 5.5 pounds each.
Wow.
That's good. That's really
okay. They were big girls.
Wait, for twins.
That's
girls.
Girls.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yep.
Wow.
I think she probably lost track of how far she was. That's all. Because those for them to weigh that amount, you know, and she brought them 2.5 weeks before her due date.
Oh, okay.
But then the doctor said it'd be 2 weeks before and 2 weeks or 2 weeks after.
That's right. So she was pretty much on time.
Yeah.
She was on time. They were ready.
She was ready because she said she was tired.
Of course. You know she must have been tired walking around with 10 pounds.
I know, right?
Of them. It's like a 10-pound baby.
Oh, my gosh. She was bigger than a basketball.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Can you imagine those people?
Let's see how little man.
Honey, little man is beside himself. He don't know he's a big brother. He's a big brother.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, love you all.
Love you too.
Love you too.
Have a good night, everybody. God bless you.
Bye. Have a good night.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Night. Yep.
All right.
Okay. Where's my song? Where's my song? All belongs to you. All belongs to you. Hiding.
All the honor, all the glory belongs to you, belongs to you. All the worship, all the praise belongs to you, belongs to you. I can't help but wanting you. I can't help but serve.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.